Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you in the Lord's house. Welcome to First Baptist Church this morning for our early worship. So let's begin with a time of prayer, and then we'll sing some songs of praise and worship unto the Lord together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come and bow before you in prayer, and we know you're awesome and mighty, and we just pray, God, that you'll move in our midst, and Lord, take hold of us today. Help us to be true worshipers. Help us to love you with our whole heart. Help us to give testimony of your greatness and your goodness, your mercy. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to shine your light this morning to one another, as let us see Jesus in one another today. And I pray, God, that we would also be able to shine your light in our community. And I pray, God, that you would advance the gospel, the kingdom of God throughout the world, through missions, through ministry, through media, and just help us, Lord, to be faithful in the task that you've called us to as your children. We love you. Thank you that we are your sons and daughters, and we want to worship you and love you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing and worship. Come thou fount, come thou king.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon
we were all in this condition.
I was lost in utter darkness till you came and rescued me. I was bound by all my sin when your love came and set me free. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my darkness till you came and
praise the Lord together this morning. God sent His Son. He came, lived, and died, took our place on Calvary's cross. And then on that third day, He rose again, victorious from the grave. Because Jesus lives, we can face life with victory. Praise the Lord. God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
And in one day I'll cross the river, I'll find my stride. No more with pain and then as death. Here's way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone.
Welcome, welcome to our early worship. If you are a guest with us today, then we're glad that the Lord's led you to worship with us today. Right in front of you in the pew, there should be one of these cards right here. If there's not one, you can find the same thing on the far right-hand side of your bulletin inside, far right-hand side of your bulletin. It's a guest card. If you'll hit that with your phone, the QR code, it'll lead you to our guest card. You can fill that out and give us the information that you're comfortable giving us. We appreciate you doing that. Glad you're here today. Glad you're worshiping with us. Take a moment or two. Welcome your friends around you. Good to see you today. Oh, yeah.
remain standing as we continue worshiping, singing the scripture this morning. I hope you'll pour out your heart in praise as you quote scripture while we sing.
Of the water, come and thirst no more. Come, all ye sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved. God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. Come see his open arms.
Here we go.
For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever.
For the wonders of his love.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved. Down at the foot of the cross, Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
Ushers, if you'll come, you may be seated. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of life that is ours today. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for good news. And thank you, Father, that in all things you just continue to love us and care for us and pull us and guide us and direct us and show us and reveal yourself to us. And, oh, I'm just so thankful for that, Lord. The world sometimes just crashes in. It gets tough. And I am so thankful, Lord, that you don't leave me to myself, that you hold on to me. I just can't say thank you enough for what you've given to me in Jesus. I thank you for eternal life. I thank you, Father, for the life that you've given to me while I'm here on this earth, to love you, to worship you, to serve you. I'm thankful, Father, for the freedom that we've been talking about over the past several weeks, the freedom that we have from the condemnation of our sin. Thank you for that freedom, Father, and help us to live in that freedom. only when we see our need, only when we recognize our sinful, fallen condition, do we ever have a chance with the one who provides bread and water that we need. Thank you, Father, for the gospel today. Thank you for the opportunity to join you in this thing called the good news to carry to a world that is desperate and in need of you. So, Father, thank you for the opportunity to join you today as we give. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Oh, what a Savior.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before Him. For He is Lord.
Hallelujah,
Christ is
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we spiritually now present ourselves before you at the altar, humbling ourselves before you. Lord, let us commit ourselves to you as a living sacrifice. Let it be holy and acceptable unto you as our reasonable act of worship or service. We humble ourselves before you now as that living sacrifice. Pray that you'll take us and use us, Lord, as we live for you. I pray for Joel as he comes to present the word of God to us. Pray as we hear it that we would come thirsty and hungry to feed upon the truth of the living word of God. And help us, Lord, to grow and to learn and be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, and transformed by the renewing of our mind through the word of God. I pray that you'll strengthen Joel, empower him, anoint him for this task. Let your Holy Spirit do a work in this room and in our hearts and lives today as Joel preaches, as he shares his heart with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, praise team. Come thirsty souls, let's try to find water that will quench our thirst, and that will be in Isaiah 55 today. The last time I preached from Isaiah 55, 1 through 5, was September of 20, and I was a mess. Man, woo, you can ask Janice. By 6 months into COVID, man, y'all, if she could have shot me and put me out of her misery, she would have. But the only thing saving me was the fact that she didn't want to go to jail. We did a series in James through the summer of 20 of COVID. So that series was about to run out, and I was like, oh, dear Lord, I just don't know what to do next. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to do anything. I mean, I was just a mess. Ugh. That whole thing drove me nuts, man. And so I just was a mess, and I was like, oh, man, I just don't know what. I don't know what I want to do. So what happened was, reading a devotion, I happened on one of my favorite passages. So I prepared a sermon when the James series was going to end. I prepared a sermon from one of my favorite passages. And that seemed to kind of perk me up. I was like, ah, yeah, at least I've got that. And so I started just kind of going through. So for about 4 or 5 months, as we were coming out of the summer of 20 and into the fall and kind of pushing toward Christmas, I just was bouncing back and forth. I was just going from favorite passage. I don't know if y'all remember that. Surely y'all do. Of course you do. You remember all of these things. Of course you remember. And so I called it, the series was Joel's Favorite Passages. And it was just, I was just bouncing from one favorite passage to the next. Just, oh, I just don't want to preach. I just don't want to do anything. But this is one of my favorites. So the Lord would drag me back out of here on the stage for another Sunday because it was, man, I love this passage. And so that kind of got me through that time. Well, Isaiah 55, 1 through 5, is one of my all-time favorites. It is not physical, it's spiritual. It is the recognition of my need. It is me realizing just how thirsty I really am. It is me recognizing just how hungry I really am. And then God, through his mouthpiece, Isaiah, say, I got it for you. Come and drink. Come and eat. And so I love this passage of Scripture. And the reason I'm preaching on it today is because we've been talking about freedom in Christ Jesus. And what I want to show you is several things. I want to show you that even from the old covenant, the old prophets, even from that, the old covenant, we find them proclaiming the good news of the gospel, Jesus, especially for those of us who are living beyond the old covenant. And so, you know, it's coming off of freedom in Christ Jesus and kind of wrapping it all up today. Isaiah, I'm totally, this is nowhere near the same sermon in September of 20, because on that Sunday, we just literally preached the passage. Today, I'm looking at it from a totally different perspective, coming off of this series on freedom. So Isaiah 55 is known by most theologians as the Great Invitation. Your Bible, if you've got your Bible open, it might even have on there as the heading, the Great Invitation. So it is God through His mouthpiece. So God used prophets in the Old Covenant, and He used those prophets as mouthpieces. This is what I want to say to my people. So He would put a word on their heart, and they would speak for God as His mouthpiece. So God, through the prophet Isaiah, was inviting everyone to come to the great messianic banquet, the great messianic feast of eternal and abundant life. The invitation is not just open to a few. The invitation is not just open to the wealthy, those who have money. Remember, in that day and time, and especially in the first century, the belief was people that had money were the ones that were blessed by God. If you didn't have money, you were not blessed by God. So Isaiah is having to proclaim to God's people, even though they were spiritually destitute at the time, he was having to explain to God's people, everybody, you're all invited. None of that physical stuff that you've got on this earth matters at all. Everyone is invited. So what Isaiah is basically talking about is true freedom. So Isaiah is saying true freedom is offered to everyone. We're all invited. So during their captivity, the Jews, they were poor. They were spiritually destitute. They were helpless. And they had even gotten to the point to where, why even cry out to God? You ever been there? Why even cry out? Nothing's changing. He's not listening. And so they had gotten to that point to where, gosh, we've got to turn to other things. So they turned to what happens to all of us. All right? So we've seen this pattern over. Oh, my gosh. We see it in our own individual lives. We see it in cultures. So they did what always happens. They turned to idolatry. Not physically idolatry, but they turned to everything else other than God. And they turned to hypocrisy. So they turned to all this other stuff. And so it was a dark time. It was a lifeless time for God's people. So Isaiah is describing a time. A time is coming, people. God's family. A time is coming when God will provide the messianic banquet for all. And it's free, and you're all invited to come. And that kind of happened to them under the reign of King Cyrus. So they were free to worship God again. They were free to own property again. They were free to have stuff. They were free. And so that kind of happened. However, that would only be the beginning, because what Isaiah was really proclaiming was that a time is coming. They would only experience just a taste. But a time is coming. A time is coming when that promise will be fully realized. And that is you and I today, the body of Christ. So let's read this old passage from Isaiah. And we're reading it, understanding that it was written to a Jewish people that were struggling in that day and time. But we're also reading it with New Testament glasses on, all right? So we're reading it with New Testament eyes. We're reading it under Christ Jesus. So that helps us to read it a little bit better. Is anyone thirsty? Do you hear what that's saying? Is there anybody in this sanctuary that is willing to admit their need? Anybody? Anybody? Is there anybody willing to admit their need? Is there anybody thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you are broke, come take your choice of wine and milk because it's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me. You will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my glory and my power among the peoples? I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations that you don't even know. People that are all over the world, listen to that, church. Is that not the truth? All over the world, people that you don't even know. All peoples unknown to you, they will come running to obey. Because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. All right, so the great invitation of Isaiah 55, it brings to mind those of us who live under the new covenant, it brings to mind a conversation that Jesus had with a Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. We know that conversation as the woman at the well. So Jesus and his disciples are walking through Samaria and they come to a well. The disciples move on down to town. They've got more important things to do. Jesus just wants to go take it easy by a well and get something to drink. Well, the busy disciples, the more important business of the disciples, they had things to do. So they walk on down to the town. Jesus is there at the well. And all of a sudden, a Samaritan woman walks up. She doesn't talk to Jesus because she knows she's not supposed to talk to Jesus. And so Jesus asks this woman for a drink. The woman is shocked. Why would he, Jew, man, be asking a woman, Samaritan, prostitute, why would he be asking me? He obviously is a man of means. Why would he be asking me for water? Makes no sense. And so that leads them to this discussion that we don't have time to get into. That leads them to a discussion about the differences between the Samaritans and the Jews. And boy, you talking about differences. There were a lot of differences. But Jesus, in this whole conversation, Jesus' main point is Jesus is trying to reveal his identity. He is trying his best to reveal himself as the Messiah to this woman. And so he told her, if you had only known who asked you for a drink, then you would have accepted the living water that I provide. And she just, like me, didn't get it. Why? Because she just didn't hear it. She didn't have ears to hear. All she could think about was the physical things in life are the things that I'm looking for to give me fulfillment and satisfaction. And so with that, she was blinded to the fact that she can't hear. The noise of the world is brrr. She can't hear what he's saying. And so like me, she would say, all right, let me see if I get this right. You're offering water that if I take a drink of this living water, then I will never, ever, 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 ever be thirsty again? And Jesus says, no, man, no. No, that's not all what I'm talking about. Jesus pointed out her error. Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. Oh, we're not talking about your physical craving. But those who drink the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. So even after that statement, she still didn't get it. What are you talking about? just like me, confused. I'm so wrapped up in the world that I can't hear it. So she doesn't understand that Jesus is talking about her spiritual thirst. But then all of a sudden something happens. Now Jesus does this to so many people in the New Testament. This is a great sermon that I'm going to preach one day. All right? Not today. But I'm going to talk about it a little bit. But I'll preach the whole sermon at some point down the road. But Jesus always touches us where we are most vulnerable. All right? Jesus always sticks the knife in where we need the knife stuck. All right? So for some people, it's money. For some people, it's their possessions. For some people, it's like the prodigal son. It's just pleasure, 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 pleasure. I mean, it's just wild living. For some people, it's this. For some people, it's that. And everybody in this sanctuary, we're all different. But one thing that is common about every single one of us is you got yours and I've got mine. Your chink in your armor may not be mine, but I got my chinks too. Yeah. And so Jesus, on so many occasions, Jesus is so great at finding, because he knows, he's finding that thing that is the most vulnerable to her, to him. And so the woman at the well, he says to this woman, he says, "Go and find your husband and bring him to me." There it is. And there we have it. And there's the problem. All right, her issue is not money. Her issue is not possessions. Her issue is not wild living. You know what her issue is? She has lived her entire life thinking that a man is going to be the thing that is going to bring me fulfillment. And so she says, "I'm not married." And Jesus says, "I know. You've been married 5 times. Now, how in the world does he know all this? Huh. You've been married 5 times, and the man you're now living with is not your husband. He won't even give you his name. That's how much you mean to him." And all of a sudden, ears were opened. All of a sudden, eyes could see. All of a sudden, when Jesus pointed out this woman's sin, when he showed her her weakest, most vulnerable moment, at that very moment, she went, "Oh, I get it now. I see." How important is that, church? When we're talking about freedom in Christ Jesus, y'all, you cannot get by this. When she saw her need, get it? When she finally opened his eyes and opened her ears, and when she became vulnerable, she saw her sinful, fallen condition. When she saw her need, then she went after living water and bread for life. But until she could see her need, until she could see her fallen, sinful condition, she just tried to find it in one man after the next relationship. That's eventually I'm going to find the right man. And according to most of you women in here, men are pigs. Okay, not me. I'm not. Janice would say, "No, not Joel's not. It's just all you." And so she just went from one bad dude to the next. "Oh, this guy's going to give me what I need." And he didn't. "Oh, this next one's going to give..." No, not him. "Oh, this sixth one is..." Oh, dear Lord, how many times do we have to go through this? No. And only when she recognized her fallen, sinful condition that she turned to Jesus as the only one that can help her. You get it, church? That's the whole point. The whole point of the parable of the two lost sons last Sunday. That's the whole point of the parable. The whole point of the parable is that the prodigal son finally saw his need. Dad, give me my inheritance now. There's a whole sermon there. There's a whole sermon there on entitlement. That's not his now. The dad's still alive. It's the dad's money. It's not his money, but he saw it as my money. Give me my inheritance. That ain't your inheritance. Until the dad passes away and then decides to give you some of it, that's not yours. That's the dad's. But the biggest problem with the prodigal was that he thought it's mine now. But the dad said, all right, he gave it to him. He goes to Vegas and has a blast. Y'all, think about this dude now. Just follow him in your mind around Vegas. I've been to Vegas one time, so I kind of got a picture, all right? So picture it in your head, those of you that go to Vegas a lot, all right? I didn't mean that bad. That came out really bad. But some of you do go to Vegas a lot. All right, so you got Vegas pictured in your head. So picture this dude. He's got his dad's money, which he thinks is his money. Man, it's just more than he could ever spend in a lifetime. And he's in Vegas, and he's just having at it. Ah, I'm a pleasure. Just taking it. Blah, 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 blah. He's just taking it all in. Man, this is great. And then all of a sudden, he wakes up from a drunken stupor one morning, and he's got nothing left. So he finds a job out in the desert with a pig farmer. And he's wallowing in the pig farm, and he's eating the same food that the pigs are eating. And he says, man, I'd be better off as a slave back at Dad's house than at least have something to eat. But here's the key to the prodigal. The key to the prodigal is that he goes back to his dad and he says, he even rehearses what he's going to say, all right? Because it's already in his heart. Where your heart is, there your treasure is also. And so he goes back and he says, Dad, I have sinned against you and I have sinned against heaven. Is there any way you can forgive me? Once he saw his need, then everything changed. Once the woman at the well saw her need, everything changed. Nicodemus, Jesus said to Nicodemus after this long conversation that I certainly, doesn't have time to talk about. But the rich young ruler. And they have this long conversation. Nicodemus, same thing. But they have this long conversation. And Jesus says, Jesus sticks the knife in right where he's the most vulnerable. Go. Now this guy is not like the woman at the well. It's not about relationships with him. His heart is stuck on money. And he says to this dude, go and sell everything you got. Just give it to the poor. I don't know. Just give it to the poor. Doesn't matter. Sell it. Give it all to the poor and then come and follow me. And the scripture says that he walked away sad because he had a lot of stuff. So Jesus stuck the knife in where he really needed it the most. And he could not, at least at that moment, he could not see his need. The son, the older son in the prodigal. The younger son, the wildest guy in the land, and he's blown everything on wild living, but he saw his need and he came home running to grace and mercy. The older son was perfect. He was wonderful. He was a dutiful son. He did everything right. But he was so mad because the father was giving grace to the younger son. And in the end, the father said to the son with the door open, come on in, come on. Come on, we're having a party. This is going to be a lot of fun. Come on in. And he could not come in. Remember, he's telling that parable to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders. And the whole point of the whole story is to try to get you to see you are the older son. You, the older son, that's perfect. Done it all just right. Your sin is just as great as the prodigal. Because your sin is religion, your sin is image, your sin is trying to do it all just, oh, I'm great, I'm wonderful, I don't have a need. And they could never see their need. When we see our fallen condition, church, only when we see it, only when we see it will we drink living water and eat spiritual bread. But if you can't see your sinful condition and insist on a self-righteous path, then you will never see your deepest need for Jesus. Bread and water can only satisfy you for so long. Jesus is forever. So Isaiah, in the Great Invitation, Isaiah is making the same point. If you want water to quench your thirsty soul, if you want bread to feed your empty heart, then you won't rely on yourself any longer, but you'll rely on God and God alone. Isaiah says, anyone thirsty, come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine, milk, it's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me. You will eat what is good. You'll enjoy the finest food. Come with your ears wide open, listen, and you will find life. Only when we feed upon the Word of God, live by faith, walk by the power of the Holy Spirit, will we find satisfaction and fulfillment. The things of this world that we so often chase bring slavery, and we're talking about freedom. When we were at Northside in Plant City, Florida, that was a tough church. They were tough, weren't they, honey? They were a tough people. But the flip side of that is, though, even though it was a tough church, we got to be such good friends with so many people. And some of our friends, they had children our age. So they were probably, at the time, actually, they're probably younger than we are now. That's hard to believe. I'm talking about W.A. and Nelda. W.A. and Nelda. W.A. was our church organist. Banker by week, church organist by weekend. And they were great. His wife's name was Nelda. Nelda Smith. Her maiden name was Butts. Nelda Butts. So I would call her Nelda Butt. And when I would call her Nelda Butt, she would go, tsst. Good morning, Nelda Butt. Tsst. They were funny. God, they were funny. And they were fun. And we had such a good time with WNL. They're still on our Christmas list. And we still send them a Christmas card. They're good folks. Nelda grew up in South Alabama, going to church every Sunday, every Wednesday night, every Sunday night. And so she was born and raised in a South Alabama, Southern, that whole deal. Church, 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 church. And so one Sunday after church, she got me out in the breezeway. And she said, Joel, you just admit too much as the preacher. You own up to way too much. You've got to stop doing that. And I said, Nelda, I'm just a poor sinner trying to tell other poor sinners where I found my life. You know the phrase I use all the time. I'm just one poor beggar telling other poor beggars, hey, y'all, the bread's over here. That's all preaching should be, and that's all it is. She said, I get that, but you just own up to way too much. And I said to Nelda, I said, Nelda, are we going to be honest here? She said, yeah. And I said, I ain't telling you nothing. Man, I'm only admitting enough to not get me fired as the pastor of Northside Baptist Church. I've been in, like you, Nelda, I've been in church my entire life, so I know what to say and what not to say. I'm not as dumb as I look. I know that there are certain things you just can't admit to. You can only go so far. So I'm giving you just enough to not get me fired as the pastor. And the same is true here. And she said to me, she said, Joel, I just want to know that my preacher is better than this. Sorry, he's down the street. He's somewhere else. Only when I drop the false pretense of most preachers and recognize my need and see my sinful condition will I find life. It's not just that I like talking like this. It's saying to you, I'm just like the woman at the well. I am just like the rich young ruler. I am just like Zacchaeus. I am just like Matthew. I'm just, gosh, we can just name them over and over and over and over again. I'm just like the prodigal son. I'm just like the older brother. I'm just like, I've got the chinks in my armor too. And only when I recognize my need, only when you see your need, will you find life. Carl Phillips says, do you ever feel empty, spiritually hungry? Do you ever find the things in this world that will fill the empty places, entertainment, intimate relationships, food, drink, work? How many times must we expect the world to do what only Jesus can do? Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Father, thank you for a great word today through the great invitation, Isaiah 55. Thank you for that, Lord. And thank you, Father, that we hear truth only when we recognize our need and recognize our sinful fallen condition can we find life. Holding on to some silly pretense just keeps us spinning. So, thank you for that good word. And I pray, Father, that for all of us, that we recognize our need. And there's only one who can fill it. And His name is Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Oh, come to the altar is our hymn, our invitation that we're going to sing. If you've never trusted Jesus and you know that the Lord is leading you to do that, then we encourage you to do that. If you need to come and pray or join our church, do that now. We stand and sing. Thank you. All right, real quickly, we won't go through the videos today, Felicia. But this Wednesday night, Ray Forrester, Eddie Highnote, Mark Sheffer, they are the deacons for this Wednesday night. They should have contacted you about coming and having an opportunity to talk to your deacon. Those things have been going very well. Spring cleaning, April the 13th, we're going to have a spring cleaning day. Put that on your calendar. The clay shoot is this coming Saturday, March 23rd, 9:30. There is a sign up on the old Lord's Supper table. Keep that in mind. And so that's a great thing. Ken, the sanctuary choir and the concert on April the 5th. Spring celebration. That's the next thing for the mature adults. All right, sign up on the old Lord's Supper table. Keep that in mind as well. All right, so let's close by singing God So Loved.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all ye sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. Cross. Jesus is waiting, God so loved.